I'd like to be.
Great next.
Under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade.
Did we talk about aquaponics on air, or did you just hear that?
I think
an
we did both.
Octopus garden in the shade.
You know, I didn't think about the aquaponics angle, which we've talked about many times, too. But there, yeah, there you go. You hit that one.
For those of you listening, aquaponics is a concept started in the, I don't know, the 60s or something, where you actually have, a friend of mine calls it a fish-powered garden. So the fish is pooping in the water, and that water is being pumped through your garden beds. The plants pull the fish poop, the nutrients out of the water, clean the water for the fish, and so on. So it's a natural system.
Aquaponics.
Aquaponics.
And we're actually going to have that in
February. I think we got a guy coming on to talk about aquaponics. Yeah.
Perfect.
We switched it up a little bit next year. We got some cool stuff happening on the Urban Farming Hour next year. So I'm really excited about that.
Right now we're talking about planning for your garden. And one thing we didn't get to in the second one is
permaculture. Permaculture. I know my lists of stuff to talk about here could go on for days. In fact, we should just take over the station for the next 3 days and talk gardening. That would be great fun. I could do that. So permaculture, I like to call permaculture the art and science of working with nature. So how do we plug in and work in the flow of nature? One of the things that it looks like is in my yard, there are many, many things that I don't plant from year to year, because what I've done is I've planted the right kinds of seeds. They're called open pollinated seeds, which we'll get to in the fourth segment today, briefly. But open pollinated seeds, basically, I let things go to seed in my yard, and then they replant themselves the next year. So this year, I've got carrots that just came up magically in my garden, and kale, and broccoli, and nasturtiums, and mint. Well, mint is just indestructible anyways. basil. There's so many different things that come back year after year, simply because what I've done is let the plants go to seed and just spread the seeds in my yard. In fact, I was walking across my front lawn the other day, and there was lettuce coming up. Just, you know, it just comes up wherever it wants to come up. So, which is really cool. It makes my job as an urban farmer, a gardener, easier, because then, you know, from year to year, I don't have to plant. I just get to harvest, which is the best part.
And we'll talk about it. We've got soils coming up a little bit, but, you know, a big part of that in your acacia that's growing wildly and grew very tall, very fast. You know,
it's a healthy soil thing.
You've been cultivating that soil for
30 years. Plus, I lucked out because I bought a flood irrigated property, which was an old citrus orchard. The soil wasn't great, but it was better than most yards here. So
if you're starting with a clean slate, a new home, a new development,
what do you do?
Blank canvas on the backyard. This type of growing isn't going to happen the first year.
Right.
But every year it just gets better.
Yeah. And here's what I tell, because I've been at my place for 30 years. And here's what I tell people. It's going to take if I was starting a new project, it would take me a good 5 years to get the soil right. And I'd start year one, but to get the soil right and get everything kind of flowing like nature would flow or nature flows. So, you know, it takes time. We have to take a deep breath, be patient, and, you know, and work through the process.
It's a lifestyle. It's a living project. It's not a one and done.
Exactly. It's ongoing and living. So, I want to talk about stacking functions real quick, and then we're going to talk about healthy soil. Stacking functions in permaculture is kind of like stacking functions when you go to the grocery store. So if you had three errands to run, you wouldn't go to the grocery store, come home, go to the pet store, come home, go to the nursery, come home. You would
not
stack
intentionally.
Right. Not intentionally. You would go to one, two,
happened,
and three.
But it wasn't intentional.
Right. You know, that's called stacking functions. And I do a lot of that at the urban farm we have chickens in the backyard at the urban farm. I got chickens in 1999, so it's been 20 years I've been keeping chickens there. And the chickens do more than just make eggs for me, although in the past I've raised meat birds. So in the industrial food system, chickens are good for two things. mostly, unless you talk to Clint Hickman, and he's they're doing all kinds of other things, but they're good for meat and eggs. In my backyard, I don't raise meat birds anymore, but in my backyard we get eggs, and the chickens eat bugs and eat weeds, and they, you know, give us manure for our compost pile in our garden. So this is, in permaculture, we call this stacking functions, because we have one animal that is doing many things for us.
And some staggering numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, in the meat world of chickens,
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, 1.3 billion wings will get eaten on Super Bowl Sunday is the average.
Wow.
And that's 6 weeks away. So most of those wings, they're actually being hatched, you know, this week.
Oh, yes,
that's true. They harvest at only about 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about meat birds that people don't know. A meat bird chicken goes from chick
to plate. Special
hybrid. Yeah, it's a special hybrid. That's not, hybrids aren't bad. It's a special hybrid, goes from meat to plate in about 6 to 7 weeks. And I've grown those in my backyard, and it's, you almost can watch them grow. And by the time they get to 9 or 10 weeks, they're too big. They can't walk anymore.
They just sit at the feeder and eat.
Yeah, they do.
Can't even move.
They do. They're voracious eaters and voracious growers. It's amazing to watch.
So
and I've done that before, and I don't do it anymore.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and the chickens are our pets anymore. Heidi would never let me do that, nor do I think I want to.
Yeah.
Anyways, soil. Let's jump into healthy soil, because that is the single biggest key, besides where you place your garden, to the success of your garden. Soil has five components. Healthy soil has five components. Dirt is one of them. I love the story that Kari Spencer from the Microfarm Project, she's been on the show with us before, she tells when she first started gardening 20 years or so ago, she went out in her backyard, she found a pot, she dug some dirt out of her backyard, and she tried to grow something. Crickets. Poor thing died really quick. Because dirt is a component of healthy soil. But it's only a component. And if all you have is dirt, especially desert dirt, we have less than 1% organic matter in the desert soils here. Good luck trying to grow anything in that. And it drives me a little bit nutty when people say, oh, yeah, just plant your trees, especially fruit trees, just plant them in native soil and, you know, and see how they do. It just doesn't work. We have to supplement the soil. So how we do that, there's five components of healthy soil. There is dirt, which is broken down rock, and it's very important to have that because it's got a lot of micronutrients in it. So there's dirt, there's airspace, there's water. This is five components of healthy soil: dirt, airspace, water, organic matter, and everything that's alive in the soil. The good news is the fix for dirt is to add organic matter, because the more organic matter that you add, it's going to build in that airspace. It's going to act like a sponge and hold water. And magically, and I've seen this happen so many times, magically, the life is just going to show up in the soil. In fact, you can add organic matter to a garden if it's just dirt, and worms will show up. I have no idea how that happens. It's like they come out of the air and they just show up. So adding organic matter is the single most important thing that you can do in your yard. If you have just a dirt backyard, adding 8 to 16 inches of woody mulch, which, by the way, is free from tree services because they're out there chipping it every day, adding, you know, 8 to 16 inches in your backyard is going to act like a sponge. It's going to keep the dust down. It's going to, at the interface between the dirt and the woody mulch, very quickly it's going to start building this amazingly healthy soil. So if you just have a backyard, put down woody mulch. You know, get in touch with a tree service. I know that John Eisenhower has this service available through their company, where they will dump a truckload of woody mulch in your driveway or in your yard. What you have to know about that is that it's a lot. You'll get 20 to 30 cubic yards, which is a pile 8 feet wide, 6 feet tall, and about 25 feet long. So just know you're going to get a lot, But if you have a quarter acre in your backyard, you could easily put 20 or 30 truckloads of woody mulch back there. And what that does is it sets you up long term for an amazing food forest in your backyard. And the woody mulch is free. Because here's the deal. The guys that I know that chip wood for, you know, their tree services, it costs them upwards of $500 to dump a load of that stuff at the dump. And so if they can dump it in your yard, they're going to be much happy about that. So adding organic matter is really important.
And there's even a website, getchipdrop.com.
Yep. Yeah.
And no matter where in the state you are, you can sign up and you go on a waiting list. And,
yeah.
You know, as the tree crews are out there working and you see the trucks on the road all the time and they're towing the chipper behind it. Mm-hmm. They're doing their tree trimming and they're just mulching it right in the back of their truck. Well, instead of going 30, 60, 80 miles to wherever dump will accept those types of wood chips, they just come to your property
and dump
it. Doesn't cost them anything. They're saving money for their customers. You get your free wood chips, everybody wins.
There you go. Well, and honestly, the last load of wood chips that I got, because, you know, I only have a third of an acre. It's flood irrigated. I don't need lots. But about a year ago, I heard somebody chipping in my neighborhood. And I went looking for them. They were just a few houses away. And they knew who I was. But I walked up to and introduced myself. And I said, you want to dump those in my driveway? And they were more than happy to dump them in my driveway. And it was a smaller load. So, you know, I was able to integrate that into my yard. So adding organic matter is super, super important. So woody mulch does not go in your gardens. Woody mulch is for your pathways. It's a long-term plan to build healthy soil in a dirt yard. And it also goes in the basins around your fruit trees. For garden beds, you need to put a nice garden mix in your garden bed that is made up of coco peat and compost and mostly broken down materials. So the difference between mulch and planting mix, if you grab a handful of something, mulch or planting mix, and look at it, and there's more than about 5 or 10% of organic matter that you can recognize that isn't broken down, that does not go in your gardens. Because if you put too much woody material in your garden beds, the woody material takes nitrogen to break down that woody material. If you plant garden plants in your garden with that woody mulch in your garden, I know I said garden a lot of times, I'll probably say it a lot more. The nitrogen gets swiped to break down the wood and the plants suffer. I've seen it over and over and over again. So you need a good planting mix. So grabbing a handful of planting mix and looking at it, you shouldn't be able to recognize more than about 5 or 10% of uncomposted material. Tanks Green Stuff down in Tucson does a really great job. They put together a product called Farmer Greg's Planting Mix. It's great for raised bed gardens. They've also got compost. And, you know, so getting a good planting mix. So what I suggest for people, and I'm not a great big fan of raised bed gardens, but if you just have a dirt backyard or a gravel backyard, putting in a raised bed garden, and adding planting mix right into the garden box and then planting, you're going to be much farther ahead. You're going to be 3 years ahead of the game if you do it that way.
And I just looked up Tank's Green Stuff because for a long time when they first started, like anything, you know, there was only a certain amount of available product and it was pretty local to Tucson, but they've got spots on here. Ajo, they've got a distribution. They also have Prescott.
Oh, yeah. All kinds Oak of places Creek, here in Phoenix.
Sedona. So,
yeah, Emily Rocky is Emily Rocky is a rock star. She's really working with us a lot to get enough growing material here in Phoenix so that we can have great gardens.